Kertov world. Today's daf in Masechet Zevachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Zayin. We're holding still at the Halakha Mishnah on Mem Vav, Amud Beit, getting towards the end of the perek. L'shem shisha devorim ha-zevach nizbach. There are six different things that a person is supposed to have in mind, because remember that, after all, the idea of Karbonis has to do very much with the Ratzon, L'Ratzon Dechem, as we're going to see, and it has to do with your interior, your understanding of the nature of Aveda and your intent in Aveda, and therefore requires some of the things we already know about, because these are the things that are Ma'akev, and those have been in the Mishnah, and we talked about them in the first, very first Mishnah in the Masechet. So L'shem Shisha Dvarim HaZevach Nizbach, the first one is the beginning of our Masechta. L'shem Zevach. You have to have in mind not to do Shinui Kodesh. You have to have in mind that what you're doing in any of these Matirim, really, even though it talks about specifically Shechita over here, but as we know, this is actually a din in the Matirin, any of the Matirin, you cannot have a Shinui Hashem, and it has to be L'shem Zevach, for whatever the Zevach is. So if that Zevach is an Oila, it has to be L'shem the Oila. If it's a Chatas, it has to be L'shem HaChatas. In the case of the Chatas, remember, it's Mamish Ma'akev, and the Korban is completely puzzle. In other cases, it would be, if it's not a Chatas, let's say a Shechta Oila L'shem Shlomim, so then it would be a kosher Korban, but it would not be Oila L'Baalim L'shem Chova. Same thing is true of the next case, which is L'shem Zoveach. It has to be brought in favor of the person who's bringing it, favor being L'Ratzon. So that means that the owner has to get his kapara, because you have in mind the owner. But if you had somebody else in mind, again, the korban is kosher if it's not a korban chatas or a pesach, but it's not oila l'shem chayva. So these two are actually ma'akev. Now there's other things, and those things are not ma'akev, as we're going to see. So it has to be l'shem hashem. It has to be, fascinating sense of words here, in shame of hashem, which means for the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the way that the Ramban explains, at least in terms of the Kabbalistic idea. It has to be l'shem, the shame HaMiyuchad. It's not to be brought to Midas HaDin. It can't be brought for God or for Elohims or anything like that. It has to be brought for the shame of Misha Amar V'Haya HaOlam, as Rishonim put it here. And that's l'shem Ishim as well. It has to be for the fires of the Mizbeach. We're going to see examples of what would be a pagam in these machshavas as we go along. L'shem Reach, L'shem Nichoach, and the Gemara is going to go through each one of these and be masber then. And remember that the Chatas and Ashim have one additional thing, and that is that they have to be brought for the kapara of the specific chait in which they are coming to be machaper. Omer Rabbi Yossi, look, the truth is that af mi shelo yablei bo l'shem echad mikol eila. Even if you didn't have any of these things in mind, nothing, meaning you didn't have something else in mind, but you didn't have anything in mind, it wouldn't be a problem, because, look, I'll prove it to you, it's got to be still kosher, because it's a t'nai bezdin that you're not supposed to have a kavana at all. So how could bezdin make a t'nai that it's better for the Kohanim not to have a kavana? Why did they make it tonight like that? Because Eina Machshava Holechet Ela Achar HaOved. Look, the only guy that's going to be in charge here is the Kohen who's bringing it. If he's got the wrong idea, you're not going to be able to fix it by having the right idea. So let's say the owner is thinking, oh, I want this to be an Ayla, you know, and the Kohen is thinking, I'm bringing it for Shlomim. It's not going to help that the owner thinks whatever he thinks, because we don't care what he thinks. We care about HaMakrivoto Lo Yechashev, right? So that is the Kohen. He's the one that's Makrivoto. Because of that, Besdin made this halacha best not to think. So sometimes thinking is a problem. You know, so it gets to a point where it's better to tell people, just don't think, don't say anything. At least that way you won't screw everything up. But how could Beis Din say something like that if you need to specifically have in mind l'shem these things? Therefore, it's clear, says Rabbi Yossi, that these things are certainly not all that important that they're going to pass over the carbon, so the carbon would still be kosher. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Look, each one of these things is to be found, if you take a look in the pasuk that introduces, right at the beginning of Vayikra. So what does it say over there? It says about the kohen, about the oila, ola ishe reach nichoach lahashem, with using that shame of Hashem. So that means each one of those words in the korban oila is a reference to one of these things in the Mishnah. When it says ola, well, we know we're talking about the ola. I mean, this pasuk was in the parsha of the ola. Why are you repeating it? Well, that's to tell me that it has to be l'shem ola. You can't bring it, let's say, l'shem shuamim. And then it says ishe. So, okay, what does ishe mean? Ishe means l'shem ishim. So it has to be brought for burning on the mizbeach. Well, what else? Let's say you've got in mind a barbecue. So lafuki kababa. You want to make kababa, you know, you want like some roasted meat. So what do? You don't put it on the mizbeach to actually burn. You put it on the mizbeach so that it gets nice and well done, you know? And you figure, that's the way I like it, so that must be the way God likes it, right? So, you know, classic buddy-buddy. And that is exactly what the pasuk is telling you. Your kavana cannot even be for sale. Forget about doing it. I mean, we're talking about the kavana. So your kavana has to be l'chatchila for the actual burning. And that's what you're doing. You're not coming to make a barbecue. And when it says ishe, reach, the next word is reach. What is that referring to? That means l'shem reach, as opposed to thinking that, well, you know what we'll do first is we're going to go ahead and we'll make a barbecue. All right, then I got to put it on the mizbeach and burn it, I understand. But first, we'll make the barbecue, right? So at least it'll, when I bring it up, it'll be nice barbecued meat. But that is not called the reach. It has to be actually create that reach as it's being burned on the mizbeach. Lafuke evarim shetzila'an, where first you roast them and then he'alam to the mizbeach. That is not the way that your kavana is in bringing the korban. The amr of yidham arav, evarim, which you first were tzila'an, and then you bring them up to the mizbeach, ein behem mishum reach, that doesn't count. And that's not going to be a yotzei, the pusik's asking you to bring in l'shem reach. And what's that next word? Nichoach. What's a nichoach? Nichoach is a lashon of hanachat ruach. Hanachat ruach is nachat ruach. So the idea over here is that you're trying to bring a sense of a mokum kevayochol for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, that we are bringing the world to him and reconnecting it to him. And that is, so to speak, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for in Ma'aseh Bereishis. So you're supplying that hanochas ruach, which is, this is the rotzen that I had, and you are doing this rotzen. Rotzen means, this is my mitzvah, and you're doing my mitzvah. So anit siveti, so that is now bringing me nachas ruach, which is interesting, because like when we talk about nachas ruach, we don't really think of it in terms of rotzen so much, but that's really what it is. This is what we're looking for. This is what we want. And we have a sense of fulfillment, which is nachas ruach. It's where what it is that we had in mind, we see that it comes to fulfillment and that we're actually had achieved something. So too, kavah yachol, we're saying if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is what I want you to do, and this is what I'm asking you to do as part of your function in our relationship, that's a nachas ruach. Because of that, it's called nichoach. And then la'ashem, l'shem misha amar, v'haya ha'olam. So you have to have in mind, as I mentioned, the idea of misha amar v'haya ha'olam, which is the shame, not Elohim. This was the big mistake that was made by Nadav Aviu, that there were makrif to midas hadin. And this is specifically, don't think about God or powers or anything like that. You have to think about the existence of the Yudke Vavke and the coming into existence of the world, which is completely different way of looking at the korban, and very, very different from the concept of sacrifice. It's not about sacrifice. It's not about, you need to punish something, so we'll punish the korban instead of you. That's not the point. Okay. Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Now remember, we had all of these dinim way back at the beginning of the Masechet, because we talked already about some of these kavanas. And Rav over there was quoted, as we're re-examining here, that a chatas shakta l'shem oila is psula, that obviously we know that when it comes to a chatas, that we know from the first Mishnah. If you had in mind an alternative korban, when it comes to chatas or Pesach, it's completely possible. But suppose you had in mind that you're bringing it as not a korban. You're bringing it for a stone, for a barbecue, for yourself. Then that doesn't passle it. A machshava that passels is only a machshava for an alternative kedusha. Remember, that was the whole discussion we had back at the beginning about sets, about mina and shalomina, shalomina passel be, shalomina lo passel be, and so on. So that was Rav's opening to the Masechet. Getting back to it over here, in terms of what is meant in the Mishnah by these machshavas, and in the context of the machlokas of whether it would actually be kosher or not. Omar Rabbi Elazar, why does Rav say that? Where does he get it from? Because since we have in the Parsha of Truma, again, this was the Parsha that we've been examining in Emor all along here, and it says there, V'lo yichalalu et kachei b'nei Yisrael. So what is, that's the Kedusha of b'nei Yisrael. That is what is mechalal Kedusha, when you're being osek in the inyanim of kachim. So kachim are mechalal and kachim. But you can't be mechalal. It never says anything about being mechalal things out of the blue. I mean, because you're not thinking about their kedusha. That doesn't bring chilul. There's an act of chilul while you're being osek in the context of kodesh. Ein chulin mechalal and kachim. So Rabbi asks from the Mishnah, if you take a look at the wording of Rabbi Yossi, the wording, it makes it clear that Rav is not on the ball here, because Omer Rav Yossi, Af mishalo haya b'libo l'shem echad b'kol elo, it's kosher. Even if someone didn't have any of these things that you're mechuyev to have in mind, and he didn't, he just left it blank. He left his mind blank. It's clearly kosher, because otherwise, how could Bezdin have possibly said not to have anything in mind? Shu tonight Bezdin, that you're not supposed to have anything in mind. Now, note his language. His language is Af mi shalo haya b'libo. That means he had nothing in mind. But suppose he did have something in mind. Suppose what he had in mind was chulin. So it's saying over here, if you had anything in mind, including chulin, it's not going to be kosher. And Rav said it is kosher. So ha haya b'libo l'shem chulin. If in fact he did have such a thing in mind, so then it would be possible. I'd explain that. Amalei Abaye, now hold on a minute. When you say kosher and pasul, you've got to be a little bit more clear about what you're referring to. Are you referring to the korban being kosher, meaning that it could be put on the Mizbeach? Or are you referring to its being kosher even in terms of its being ola l'shem balim? Okay, now that's two completely different things. Maybe what Rabbi Yossi is trying to say is that if you didn't have anything at all in mind, so then it's kosher even to the point that it's meratza on the bailim, and he was yotze yedei chova. But if he had in mind l'shem chulin, so then eino chinami. It would be kosher, but it still wrecked it in the sense that it's not going to be meratza for the owner. And therefore, it would be the same in those cases as the shinuim that we had in the Mishnah up front, that there's things that if you do, the Mishnah said beferish kosher, but lo ala l'balim l'shem chova. Maybe that's what it means. Omar Rabbi Elazar, if you shech, let's make it very clear what we're talking about over here. Chulin, what do we mean when you say it l'shem chulin? We mean that you know that you're shechting a korban chatas, except that you have in mind, I am a naughty boy, and I shech this as if it's chulin. That's what we're talking about. But suppose you shecht it thinking it's chulin. Now, that's a totally different problem, because in that case, you, in fact, would have made the korban pasul. if you do shechita like that. Why is that? Because that has nothing to do with a shinui Hashem. That has to do with a shinui in the act of shechita, which now becomes a misasek. Misasek means that what it is that you're doing, remember the classic misasek, of course, is by Shabbos, we're over there, you need melechus b'chavas. So let's say there's a tomato on the ground that fell off of your table, you bend down to pick up the tomato, and you end up tearing out a tomato that was mechorbet to the ground under the table, which you had no intention of doing. That's not a shogeg. That's nothing. That's not a melacha at all. Because you are misasek in heter gomer. You're misasek in picking up, what's the difference, picking up a cut tomato or picking up an envelope off of the floor? And it turns out you were doing a melacha of ktsira. What does one have to do with the other? That's the ultimate misasek, right? Now, the same thing is true over here. Since Shechita of Chulin, of Kachim, and we're going to see this in a moment, how we know this from the Pasuk. Since Shechita of Kachim is, in fact, an act of specific intent to do that Shechita, the act of Shechita of Kachim. And if you have something else that you think you're doing, you're not doing Shechita of Kachim. That is a problem of misasik, which has nothing to do with shelo lishma. It simply is not the act of shechita, which, remember, all of the inyanim of kachim, really the mukar, even for the idea of Shabbos, is the mishkan, in which all of the melacha has to be done as melechus b'chavas, and that combination of mishkan Shabbos that we learn out in Vayakel and in numerous places is the whole mukar of the lametes melachas and the kavana. So therefore, what you're talking about over here is, it may look like chulin, I keep saying that, it may look like shechita, it may taste like shechita, but it isn't the shechita that we're talking about because it's a misasek. That's the problem. And the moment it's misasek, it's not kosher. That's the issue. And therefore, the moker of that is kedabai minei Shmuel miravuna. How do we know that if somebody is misasek in the Shechita of Kachim, how do we know that that act is pasul? So the ultimate misasek, of course, would be you dropped a knife off of the table and it shechted the carbon that was right next to you. I mean, that would be a kosher Shechita maybe, but it's not a kosher Shechita's Kachim because it was complete misasek. And there we're talking about an act that happened, but not an act that you did. How do I know that that would be kosher, that would not be kosher, and that even thinking that you're doing a shechita of chulin is not kosher for kachim? That's because it says beferish in the pasuk, v'shachat et ben habakar lifnei Hashem. Why do we need to say that? To repeat again that it's the Ben HaBakar in the same opening of that Parsha of Shurla at the very, very beginning of Vayikra? It said the Ben HaBakar. So why repeat? V'shachat et Ben HaBakar lifnei Hashem. That's because you need to know what you are doing. I am doing this act as the Shechita of a Ben HaBakar, not dropping a knife, and not thinking I'm doing a shechita of the another Ben Bakar, which is not the one that we've been talking about. It's Ben HaBakar. It's the Ola that we were talking about here. The shechita has to be for that purpose, l'shem the Ben HaBakar. Amar lo, so Shmuel said to Ravuna, hey, what do you think I am, stupid? I know that, Pasek. I wasn't asking you how do we know that you're not supposed to be misasik. I want to know, how do we know that if you are misasek, that it passels? That's what I want to know. So Zubi Adenu, I always knew that. La'akev minayin. I want to know how it's so clear that a shechita that is done with misasek is not even considered to be a kosher shechita for kachim. Ah, says Ravuna, well, you should have explained it. That's a different pasuk, and that, in fact, is learned from later on, where it says, "V'chis is bekuzev." Now, this is a really strange pasuk. What is it saying? "V'chis is bekuzev shlamim l'Hashem l'ritzonechem tizbachu." Well, meaning with your das l'ritzonechem, with your das, so it's l'da'atchem zvichu. You need to be aware of what you're doing. And if there's no ratzon, then there's no awareness. So there has to be a clear-cut will to achieve what it is that you're looking to achieve. Now, what Rav Yossi said at the end of the Mishnah is not necessarily true. Because Rav Yossi says the reason that Beis Din made that takana, better not think of anything, because if you think of something, we're giving it into your hands to mess things up, because nobody else can fix it. They can't have a different makshava. He closes the words with "Ein makshava holechet ela achar ha'oved." The only one that's got something to say over here is the one who's doing the avoda, hamakriv oto. He's the only one. And is that true? Well, it's certainly not going according to the following Tana. I heard from my Rebbe that actually the Baalim are mefaglim, so that if the Kohen is doing the Shechita and the owner of the carbon is thinking, there's a nice Shechita for Chutz Lazmano, and I think that's when I'll eat it, then he would cause pigo, even though the Kohen wasn't thinking about anything. Now, that is clearly against what Rabbi Yossi was saying. Nobody argued with Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah. I mean, Rabbi Yossi thought this was proof positive that it's got to be that the only one. We go along with that. So that means that the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi. And what would be the marker for that, says Rava? Oh, my Rava, my time at the Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi. It's an amazing raya, really an amazing raya. V'hikriv ha-makriv korbano la-Hashem minchat solat isaron. This was in that parsha in which you're mechuyev to bring the korban mincha, in which it calls the person who's bringing the korban mincha the makriv. Well, the whole reason we thought it's only the Kohen is because it says ha-makriv oto lo yechashev. Okay, who's the makriv? Yeah, you think the makriv is the Kohen. Here it says beferish, ikriv ha-makriv, meaning the one who's supposed to be bringing the korban. That's clearly referring here to the owner. So that means that the dinim of pigo are chal just as much on the owner as the makriv as on the Kohen as the makriv. Omar Abaye, what we have here is actually, now, I hope that you remember that in many places where we make a list of common shitas, so he says A and B and C, they all seem to hold. It doesn't mean that they all agree with each other. It often means that they all are on the same track, but that they may disagree in the specific things that the other is talking about. So it definitely does not have to mean that they agree, as we're about to see. So what Abai is pointing out is that we have three shitas on the same track. And what exactly is that track? That ze mechashev v'ze oved havi machshava. That if one person is doing an act, another person's intent can affect that act. Now, it doesn't mean they're all the same, but here are three examples of that concept, okay? The first one was, of course, what we just said. That's Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yossi, who says that even though the Kohen is doing the Shechita, the owner can have a Machshava that's going to redefine that Shechita and turn it into a Shechita L'Shem Achilas Chutz L'Zmano Chutz L'Mekomo, right? Okay, that's one. So that's the one that we just said, Adiyama. Now we also have Rabbi Eliezer. Now Rabbi Eliezer said, and this he says in the Mishnah in Chulin, not here, that if somebody is shechting for an Oved Kochav, let's say you have a Jewish butcher, a guy brings him an animal to shecht and butcher for him, and he shechts that animal. Seems to be a perfectly kosher animal, right? But it's not. What actually happens is that it's a pasul shechita. You're not allowed to be nene from that shechita because he holds that stam machsheves avodas kechov, an oved kechovim is la avodas kechovim. So anything that you're doing for an oved kechovim, you have to assume that that guy wants this to please the great Lord, Yashka Pipik, or whatever he calls him, and therefore it's going to pass on the Shechita, because it'll be a Shechita for Avodah Zarah. Now, how can his thoughts tell my Shechita what the Shechita is for? I don't know what this guy is. Do you see clearly from here that according to Rabbi Eliezer, one person could do the act, over here the butcher is doing the Shechita, and another person, in this case the owner who's an Ovid Avodah Zarah, he can have a Machshava, in this case the Machshava is Avodah Zarah. So that seems to be in the general direction of what it was Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yossi said, that the Kohen could do the Shechita, and somebody else, in that case the owner as well, that somebody else, he can have a Machshava for Chutz L'Zmanai. And here's a third one. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar also says that because when it comes to Shabbos and the dinim of Hotza'ah, what is the shiur of Hotza'ah? So the Mishnah, you remember, in Shabbos goes through all, whole parak goes through all the different things, Hamotzi X, Hamotzi Y, Hamotzi Z. What is the standard considered to be an important amount that is choshev enough to be a shear of hotzah? So over there, we also had a general concept. If you think that this is choshev, and you put it aside in order to keep it in a special niche where you have it handy, and then you go and you take it and you carry it on Shabbos, you would be chayev. Because to you, it's important. Now, how about if somebody else decided it was important to him, and he set it aside, and then you went and you took it and you carried it? Can his machshava make your hotzah choshev? That's the same kind of idea. And Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says yes. Klal Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, kol she'ein kosher la'atznia, something which generally is not even set aside, is not kept. And ein matznin kamohu, or it may be generally set aside, but there's not enough of it here, kamohu meaning in that amount, there's not enough of it over here to justify putting it aside, then if it was ruchshar lezev itzniu, if one person thinks that that is, oh, I'm so happy we have that, let's put that in our little niche over here in the drawer, and then somebody else comes along after that person thought it was good, the second guy who did the hotza'ah becomes chayev for that shear of hotza'ah because of the first one who thought it was choshev. A classic case of machshava from one person and the action on the other person. So that means he's also in the same general direction as Rabbi Eliezer that we just had and Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yossi. Now, just let me make it very clear. I'm saying they're all going in the general direction, says Abaye, but I'm not saying they all hold the same thing, because, I mean, that's not necessarily the case. Look, I mean, the Tarvayu, the other one, meaning the two, we have Rabbi Eliezer, he was talking about the Oved Avodah Zarah and the owner's Machshava making your korban, making your Shechita, a Shechita for Avodah Zarah, even though you're just a regular Jewish butcher. So that Shechita, which is the second Tana, the first of the other two Tanaim, meaning the last two out of the three, they for sure are going to hold to what Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi holds about Pigel, because the main place where the Torah talks about and Machshava being puzzle, and it's very sensitive to Machshava, is inside of the Beis HaMikdash, you know? I mean, that's Pigel. Where do we have a Torah discussing specifically? You got to think about it correctly. Lo yechashev. That's only in the Beis HaMikdash. So, I mean, if he is ready to please take off your picture from the screen. Oh, I don't know, fix that. Oh, man. Will you please remove your picture? And thank you. Okay. So in this case, the last two, if you're telling me that it's true, even b'chutz, meaning for Avodah Zarah, kol shekein is going to be true bifnim, that my machshava is able to create as an owner a pigel, for sure, bifnim, boy, but that doesn't mean in the other direction is going to be true. And if you're telling me for Shabbos, it's kosher, we're also, that's a b'chutz. So obviously the place where we've got the greatest sensitivity, machshava, bifnim, it's definitely going to be true. However, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Yossi, who was talking about Pigel, I mean, he doesn't necessarily agree with them at all. Doesn't mean he sure doesn't agree with them, but it means he doesn't have to agree with them. There's no indication that he agrees with them, because Dilma may be only being where the Torah says Beferish Lo Yechashev, and it made such a fuss out of the din of Machshava. It actually uses the word Yechashev, right? So there is where a Machshava is very, very powerful, and even the owner's Machshava made possible. That doesn't mean that I agree. Then when it comes to a Machshava of a guy who's got a mind of Avodah Zarah, that's enough outside of the Beis HaMikdash to possible, even though, of course, the dinim of Avodah Zarah outside are learned from their similarity to the inyanim that are inside. That we know from the pasuk of Zoveach L'Elohim Yochoram Bilti LaHashem Livado, which means that those things that are going to be normally meant to be Zoveach L'Elohim, if in the Beis HaMikdash, if they're done to a god, that's when you're fired. That's when you're Chorah. But so they're obviously related, but still, I mean, the centerpiece of Machshava is Bifni, not Vachutz. So you wouldn't agree with maybe, with either, because only Dilma, maybe it's only Bifnim where Machshava is so important that one person can think and the other person does, and the two connect, but Vachutz, lo amrina. Now, let me also point out, says Abayin, that Reb Shimon ben Elazar was talking about carrying on Shabbos. He would certainly agree with Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the Machshava of the Goy is enough to wreck your Shechita. Because, I mean, those two things are compared in the Zoveach L'Elohim Yechoram. So if he's ready to say on Shabbos that somebody's concerned for a particular amount of material is enough to be mechayev another person, so certainly Avodas Kochavim, which is compared to Avodas Pnim, where we know there's a sensitivity makshava, there for sure it's going to work, right? But that doesn't mean that Rebbe Eliezer would agree in the other direction. Rebbe Eliezer may not agree with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, because look, Dilma b'Avodas Kochavim, yes, Avodas Kochavim is compared to Ke'en Pnim. So it's similar to what's done Bifnim, which is based on that pasuk of Zoveach L'Elohim Yechoram. But Shabbos, I mean, Shabbos is Malachas Machshavas. Did you have a Malachas Machshavas in mind here? No, it's not your Malachas Machshavas. And that's always what defines the nature of Malachas. How can somebody else's valuation of a shear turn this into your Malachas Machshavas? So it's very likely that he would completely disagree with your statement, which brings us to our most famous of all of those thinkers who deal with the Machshavas, Sir Richard Hadranalach Beit Shammai. I'm sure he wouldn't sleep through that kind of introduction. Hadranalach, here we go.
Fountain the Helika Perek.
Oh, man, we believe this one, Rich. I'm telling you, fully awake. Incredible. Okay.
Not quite fully, Rabbi, I'm afraid to say.
That's just part
I'm
of the...
I'm a bit somnolent.
The incredible anivus of our wonderful Sir Richard, who will never even forget. Other people say, you know, I'm not as brilliant as you think I am. But this is someone who's ready to say, I'm not even as awake or aware as you think I am. Incredible. I'm telling you, they don't call him the Talisker Rebbe for nothing. So anyway, let us continue on with the new perek.
Did Rebbe use Beit Shammai's chumrah of how often to drink? Beit Shammai would drink every line.
I have to start being machmer in that general direction. That's only bifnim. I mean, here we're still, most of the people here are b'chutz. All right. Ezehu mikoman shel zevachim. Ah, what lovely sounds those are. So much part of our repertoire, whether it be the tefillah repertoire, the Yom HaNorayim repertoire, the singing repertoire. Ezehu mikoman shel zevachim. Amazing. So we're indeed, let's go through in this parak all of the various korbanos and define their ikar placement to the Beis HaMikdash. We start with Kodshei Kodashim. All of Kodshei Kodashim require Shechita B'Tzafon. You remember we had three different Shechitas of what Shechita B'Tzafon is. We had the broader street of Tzafon that it begins literally on the northern side from the moment that you walk into the Azara, and you're even in the outmost part of the Azara, which is the first 11 Amos, which is called the Ezras Yisrael. I mean, it's not marked off by any boundaries, but still, those 11 Amos is the least, so to speak, chomor, because we allow people in general to mill around over there. The next 11 Amos, which takes us all the way up to the Mizbeach, is what's called the Ezrat Kohanim. And according to Rebbe, all the way from the entranceway into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Azara, the right-hand side, as you walk in, is going to be Tzafon, and it will be kosher for Shechita. If you hold the most Chomer Shechita, so then you've got Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda. And that means you got to walk all the way up to the Mizbeach, and then the area between the northern side of the Mizbeach and the wall of the Azara on the north, that and only that is considered to be Tzofein, and that is the most Chomer. And then we have one more sheet, and that's Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon. So Yotz like that, plus the area which is Bein HaUlam VeLaMizbeach, is also considered to be Tzafon. Okay, however, all agree that whatever Tzafon is, that is where you have to do the Shechita of Kodshim. Now let's start with what appears to us to be the most Chomer of Kodshim, and that would be the only two Karbonas where the Dam is brought all the way into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that requires, remember, either 43 Matanais or 44 Matanais or 47 Matanais or 48 Matanais, depending on whether you hold Ma'arvim the Dam or whether you hold that the Shvich HaShiraim is Ma'akev. You remember that whole sheet, the Shita that we had before, and that's the Par V'Soyer Shel Yom HaKippurim. So taking that as our first case, and the parak is going to go through each individual case. So the parvaser shel Yom HaKippurim, shritatan b'tzafon, as we said, is the general rule. V'kibul daman b'kli sharet b'tzafon. Whoa, 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 this is interesting. How come we didn't say that up front? Because, I mean, that's certainly true about all of the Kodesh HaKadosh, Kodesh Kadashim, we should have said, Ezu Mekom Shel Zvachim, Kodesh Kadashim, Shchitasam B'Tzafayim, and Kibol Damam is also B'Tzafayim. So we could have used those words that we're using here for every carbon, just about, that we're going to quote as we go along in the parak. Why didn't we make that part of the overall statement of Kodesh Kadashim, Shchitasam B'Tzafayim, and Kibol Damam B'Klisharis B'Tzafayim? The Gemara is going to ask that. It's really strange. But anyway, you do have to also do the Kabbalah Saddam with your Mizrak, which is the Kli Shores, and your Mekabel, that Dam also, the same place where you did the Shechita. Now, as far as their Dam is concerned, oh boy, these are really unique, because the Parvaser of Yom HaKippurim, their Dam requires, remember, we had four different sets, right? So their Dam requires the Hazoya towards the Kaporet, that's Bein HaBadim. If you're standing between the two carrying poles of the Aron HaBris, that's where the Kohen would be standing as he's sprinkling it towards the cover, the Kaporet that's on the Aron HaBris, and you're doing the first Hazoyos there, Bein HaBadim, so you're doing eight Hazoyos, Achas Lamala, Sheva Lamata, Kematzlif, as we all learned before. And then you go out into the Heichal, and you do also Sheva Hazoyos Lamata and one Lamala Ala Parochet. And then you turn and you do the Mizbeach HaZahav, which is yet another set, where you do four Matanes on each. What is it?
The Bein HaBadim.
You're not supposed to just interrupt. You're supposed to raise a hand. But anyway, you did, so talk. I mean, right in the middle here, there's a whole
Bein HaBadim, where's the blood drops? Bein HaBadim, where is the blood? On the other side of the parochus, or next to the on the floor by the
first of all, there's no parochus Bein HaBadim. There's a kaporet. Are you dealing with language as you usually do? I mean, remember, dyslexia is not accepted among the Kohanim Gedolim. That's all we need, except for put the dam on the kapores instead of the parochas, or the parochas instead of the kapores. That's almost as crazy as getting mixed up between truma and tmura and tuma. So no, we can't, don't accept that.
Where
is the Bein Abadim is towards the kaporet, but it falls on the floor. Yeah. However, it may hit it, but that's by accident. That's not by kavana. And the same thing is true, just in case you really did mean the parochet when you said the parochet, the same thing is true of towards the parochet. However, as we'll see, there are reports of those who went through the Vatican, which we'll see in the Gemara, and he said, I saw blood, drops of blood, that actually were on the parochet. So apparently it did happen that it touched. Anyway, getting back to the flow, which will start again. Sheesh. I'm not sure if it's mushrooms or it's dyslexia, but it's definitely one or the other here. So getting back to the flow. So shchitasim b'tzofen and kibol domon b'kusharis b'tzofen and domon ta'un hazayah al ben habadim of the Oren Habriz, and it has to be also al haparochet, and also has to be al mizbeach hazav on each of the four coronas of the mizbeach hazav and al tiaroi shel mizbeach. So over here we've got all of that. And matana achas mehem ma'akevet, any one of those, depending how many we count, of those 43 or those 44 different matanas or those 47 different matanas, if you're not ma'ariv the dam of the sa'ir with the dam of the par, they're all ma'akev. Where did you get that from? The asa ka'asher asa. Ah, that lovely pasuk. The asa ka'asher asa teaches us that it's repeated in order to be ma'akev. And there's also shiyare hadam. And according to this Mishnah, the shiyare hadam is not ma'akev, so we don't get to 48. Shiyare hadam haya shofech ha'yisod ma'aravi shel mizbeach hachitzon. So you put that on the western yisod, which is towards the front of the heichal. So right as you walk out of the heichal and you come down off of the ulam, you're going to be right at that place, and that's where you would pour it. But im lo natan lo ikev, if you don't pour it, it's not going to be ma'akev. So that is our level one of Kodesh Kadashim. Now let's go down to level two. Those are the parim hanisrafim, or the seirim hanisrafim. All right, who's ready to tell me what the parim hanisrafim are, or what the seirim hanisrafim are? Beep, beep. Let's go, boys. You divrei Torah mechudadim b'ficha. What are the parim hanisrafim and the seirim hanisrafim that we've been so engaged in for the past weeks? Somebody. Yes, I know it's childish to have to respond, but that's part of the fun. Come, out of the forest comes the sneaking giant bear. And he says,
The seer from Purim.
You should have stopped while you were at. Let's try that again. The same mistake we had yesterday. Yes, Bobby, dear.
The seer from Purim is also...
The seer from Purim?
Is it not?
From Purim?
Yeah. Isn't one burn?
Are we talking about Purim or are we talking about Kippurim?
Actually, both, but I thought Moshe had mentioned Kippurim.
There is no Seir on Purim unless it's the Rebbe.
No, it's a Par. It's the Par on Purim. And the Seir on the Par on Kippurim.
Okay, I'm getting very confused here. I'm not sure who's serious and who's getting around. But no, we just finished talking about the Purim and Seirim of Yom HaKippurim, and there brought Lifnai v'Lifnim. That was level one. Now we're talking about level two. What are the Purim and Nisrafim that are not level one? So, Handy mentioned two. He talked about the Parayam Davashal Tzibur and the Seirei
Avodah Zarah.
Ah, and the Seirei Avodah Zarah, not the Seir Nasi, which is brought exactly the same way that the Seirah V'Yochid is brought. And there's also one more. Okay, so we've got the Purim and Nisrafim, or Tzirim of Avodah Zarah that are Nisrafim. There too, they follow the general rule: Shchita Tam B'Tzafon, Kibul Daman B'Kli Sharei B'Tzafon, and Daman Ton Hazoya. But over here, it's not the same as level one. They require Hazaya not on the Kaporet, but on the Parochet. So not Bein Habadim, only on the Parochet. And it's not the same Hazoya, because what's the difference between the Hazoya on the Parochet of the Sayer of Yom Kippur and the Sayer of Avodah Zarah? What's the difference? They're both put on the Parochet. Beep, 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 beep. There's only a little bit of time before the explosion, so I'd advise somebody to step forward. What's the difference between the same Hazoya, ala parochet, between the Sayer of Yom Kippur and the Sayer of Avodas Kochavim? Oh my gosh. I'm warning you guys, you're all sitting on a hidden charge, which I need only press my button and boom! Yeah, go ahead, Gav.
Is it Lamala or Lamata, where you sprinkle to?
Close. We'll give you for the Tanakh HaOlami question. We'd give you half credit for that. It's close. Why is it close? Because the difference is 8 or 7. Right? So there's 8 in Yom Kippur because, as Gavi said, you have Achas Lamala v'Sheva Lamata, and here you don't have Lamalas and Lamatas, you just have Sheva Pa'amim. So keep remembering these things. You know, otherwise we'll have to call on Richie, and he's going to be the only one who's going to be able to tell us all of these dinim. You don't want to be completely outwitted by Richie. So please respond. All right, so they get a kibbol damim, and they have hazoya, but this is hazoya sheva, and it is on the parochet, and they also have a hazoya on the mizbeach hazav. What is the difference between the Hazoya and the Mizbeach Hazav of a Sayer of Yom Kippur and a Sayer of Avodas Kochavim? The next question. Beep, beep, beep. I'd advise you to get some solid material between your bottoms and the seat that you're sitting on where my charge is hidden, because you're going to be getting it soon. What is the what is the difference, guys? Come on. Speak up. Somebody said something. All right, Ori, what the heck? You tell him. Gavi, you're on mute. I can't hear what Ori is saying. There's no Hazoya on Tiharosho Mizbeach on anything but the Purim and the Seirim of Yom HaKippurim. There's only a Matana on the Arba Koronais. So how many Hazoyas are there? 4. How many total Hazoyas are there? 7 plus 4 equals 11, as opposed to 43, or maybe even more, right? Maybe 47 when it comes to the Yom HaKippurim. Okay, so these are very different, even though it's in the same place, but it's a different Hazoya. Matana achat me'em ma'akevet, and as we learned from our beautiful pasuk before, V'yasa ka'asher asa, that tells us that the kefel of the words, which is shana alav ha'katuv la'akev, even one of those 43 matanot, or one of these 11 matanot, are all ma'akev, and the shiore hadam here too, hayashofech ha'yisod ma'aravi shamizbeach ha'chitzon, and here too, the mishnahs, like the Mandi Omar, that says that Imlo Natan Loikev, and that the Shvicha Shiraim, even of the Chataot HaPnimiot, is not Ma'akev. And now that we've mentioned both of the first set and the second set, they have something in common, which is that Elu Ve'elu Nisrafima Beit Hadeshen, the Sayer and the Par of Yom HaKippurim, and the Seirim and Purim HaNisrafim of the Par Halam Dovar, the Seiri Avodas Kochavim, or the Kohen Mashiach, all are burned after you bring the Emurim on the Mizbeach HaChitzon and you did the Hazoyas Adam. all of them are burned in the Beit HaDeshen. The Beit HaDeshen was outside of Yerushalayim. You will learn all of this from the Pasuk. So those are our first two levels of Ezur Mekomon of Kodshei Kodashim. Now, the question is, why didn't you start the Mishnah with the overall Yesod, which is common to all Kodshei Kodashim? Why did we only mention that the Shechita is Bitzofein if we're going to be mentioning on every single one of the Karbanas that are underneath this heading of Kodshei Kodashim, we're going to be mentioning that Kibbol Damam Bikli Shor is Bitzofein? So then that should have been the general rule for all of these Karbanas. It should have said Kodshei Kodashim, Shechita Tan Bitzofein, Kibbol Damam Bikli Shor is Bitzofein. Doesn't say that. Why? V'nisneinami v'kibbol damam bikli shor es bitzofein. Well, I'll tell you why. There is one case in all of the cases that we're going to be bringing later on where making that statement would be misleading. And what is that? That is the case of Asham Mitzora. Now, the din of the Asham Mitzora is that the Kohen is mekabel the dam in his hand, not in the Kli Sharet. Now, there is another Kohen who's mekabel some of the dam in a Kli Sharet, as we're going to see. But the Kohen who's going to be putting the dam and sprinkling it onto the ear and the toe and the thumb of the Mitzora, he is mekabel the dam in his hand, as we're going to see from the Pasuk. So I couldn't very well say, without misleading you, I couldn't very well say that the Kibbol Damam is Bikli Shor es Bitzofein, could I? If there's one case where the Kohen is going to be Mekabel Dam, at least some of the Dam, in his hand, so that's why I couldn't put it into the general statement at the beginning of the Mishnah, and I have to leave it for the specific statement of the different cases in the Mishnah. Because Kivan de Ikar Sham Mitzora, which is Kodesh Kodesh, like all Hashamas, we're over there, the Kibbol Adam is in the hand of the Kohen. We're there, Kibbol Damo B'yadu, I had to leave it out of the overall klal. So Shirei, I left it out of the klal at the beginning of the Mishnah for good reason. What? What are you talking about? I mean, the very same Mishnah, the very same parak, I should say, it's really all one Mishnah. The very same Mishnah says later, Hashem Nazir v'Yashem Mitzora Shchitosim Bitzofen v'Kibbol Damam Bikli Sharet Bitzofen. What are you talking about? If the same Mishnah can say that an Hashem Mitzora does require Kibbol Damam Bikli Sharet Bitzofen, what's your excuse for not listing it in the klal? I don't understand you. Ah, I am very smart. Because, look, when I'm formulating the overall klal, can I really say the statement that the Kibbol Damam is entirely Bikli Shor es Bitzofein on all the korbanos? No. Because I say to myself, look, Mikora Savar, since we know, as we're going to see in a minute, that there needs to be a Kibbol Dam of the Kohen in his hand and not in the Kli. So I can't make that an overall ruling that all of the Kabbalah's dam of Kodshei Kodashim has to be done in a Kli Shor es Bitzofein, and it simply isn't true. So how could I write that as the klal? On the other hand, once I introduce the Mishnah with something that is correct, when I do get to the specific dinim of the Asham Mitzora, it is true that there is Kibbol Damam in a Kli Shor es, because half of the dam is going to be going into that Kli Shor es, and that means that this brilliant Mishnah, which remember is never written for dummies, and therefore that person who's got our noodle, he's scratching his head and saying, now wait a minute, how come at the beginning of the Mishnah it didn't say that Kli Shor es and Kibbol Damam Bitzofein is necessary, and then suddenly every single case that I look at it says it is necessary? What am I missing? Ah, you are missing the din of Asham Mitzora. You need to know that when it comes to an Asham Mitzora, there are two different Kabbalah's damim from the same korban. I therefore have to leave room for that idea in the Mishnah, don't I, when I'm telling you the klal? So I did. So now you're smart. And therefore it was left out. However, You cannot do the Avodah Zarah without the Kli Sharis either. So Hadrat Tanya, then at the end I tell you, yeah, you need a Kli Sharis, and it would have to be B'Tzofing. The proof of the pudding lies in the pasuk that the Braita is about to explain. So since it says in Tazria, V'lakach HaKohen Midam HaAsham, V'natan HaKohen Al Tnuch Ozen Amitai HaYimanit V'al Bohen Yado HaYimanit V'al Bohen Rakbo HaYimanit, and it says V'lakach HaKohen V'natan HaKohen, that is comparing the Lekicha of the Kohen to the Netina of the Kohen. And therefore it tells me, you might think that the Kohen should be mekabel the dam in a kli, and then dip his finger in the kli, and then take the dam and put it on the mitzorah? No, siri, yocho bekli, Talmud lomar v'natana Kohen. Just like the netina of the Kohen is with his finger, as it says be'etzpa'o, so just like the netina has to be with the very body of the Kohen, the initial velakacha Kohen of the dam, also has to be with his own hand, which means that he is mekabalah in his hand directly, not from a kli. So you might think that the portion of the dam that's put on the mizbeach, which is kechatat ha'asham, we know that it requires the same type of nesina that a chatas would require, and therefore it needs to be put on the mizbeach. You might think that here for the ashram, it's okay to put it on directly from the Kohen's hand. No, because it says, Kikachatata ashamu. If a chatas requires a kli, then this asham requires a kli too. So what are you going to say? How do you explain the fact that on the one hand, the Torah says, Velakacha Kohen Venatana Kohen, which means no kli, and on the other hand, it says, Kikachatata asham, which means yes kli. Aha. Nimtseita ata omer. So when you learn how to think, you understand that this is telling me that every asham mitzora requires two separate kohanim that are being mekabel adam. One of them is mekabel nekli, and one of them is mekabel neyad. So echad beyad v'echad bekli. The one who is mekabel adam in the kli, he walks to the mizbeach and he puts the dam on the mizbeach. The one who is mekabel beyado, he comes to the mitzorah and he puts the dam on the bohen yado and bohen raglo and ozno hayimanit. Excellent. Okay, that actually does our daf. We start the new perek and we found out these wonderful new dinim about the Usher Mitzvah, and we also maybe were reminded of what we were supposed to know in the first place, but we were reminded of the difference in the Matanot Adam between the Purim and the Seirim and the Srafim on Yom HaKippurim and the Purim and Seirim and the Srafim in terms of Seirei Avodah Zarah, Par Kohen Mashiach, Par Halim Davar Shel Tzibur, and maybe even the Halim Davar of this Daf Yomi, in which people seem to forget that's the Par Halim Davar that we had today, I guess.